Blog Talk Radio.
He's at the 20, throwing speed, 25, 30, 35. He's got a chance, needs a block. He's in midfield. He's going to take it to the house. See ya, 91 yards. Breaks one tackle. He's got some running room, 30, 35. He could go down the far sideline. I don't think they're going to get him. He's going to have a chance, though. He takes him at the 39. At the 40, comes to the outside. 45, he's at midfield. Runs past the man, 40. He's coming back the other way. He's at the 30. He's at the 25, 20, 15, 10. He may go home, and he does. Holy cow.
Kick in the air. LSU wins. I can tell you for sure now, LSU wins.
The sun will soon find its home in the western sky, and it will be Saturday night in Death Valley.
And welcome to Bingle Beat, a Tiger High podcast. I am your host, Patrick Fry, and I am here each week talking LSU football. Thank you so much for giving us a listen. Go follow our Facebook page, Tiger Hype, and also our podcast page, Tiger Hype Podcast. I have a little bit of a sore throat this morning, so if my voice seems a little bit off, well, I mean, I don't think I'll sound a little bit off, but woke up this morning, I don't know, for some reason my sore was a little bit throat. Wow, I totally mixed that up. My throat was a little bit sore, and I gargled some salt water a little bit earlier, so it's feeling a little bit better. But nonetheless, there's a lot to talk about. The week is finally upon us, LSU versus Alabama, now just 5 days away. It's crazy how fast this season is flying by. It seems like it was just yesterday. I was talking about the cancellation of the McNeese State game, and, you know, we were still waiting for some football action, and we had Mississippi State our first game, and now, you know, 7 wins later, here we are looking Alabama right in the face. So much is on the line in this game, as there has been in recent years, ever since Nick Saban went to LSU, and, you know, at LSU, he was so successful, he gave Coach Miles a great foundation to build upon, which Coach Miles has done a fantastic job of doing. Then Saban goes over to Alabama in 2007, and his success was almost immediate, even though the first season was a little bit rough. Second season, he had their number one in the country, going undefeated all the way to the SEC championship game before they eventually lost to the national champions, Florida Gators, that year. But it has turned this LSU-Alabama rivalry into one of the most must-see games each and every year in college football. Now, when it comes to Les Miles versus Nick Saban in this series, Saban leads it 6-3. But in Tuscaloosa, it's actually even at 2 wins apiece. So the first meeting over in Tuscaloosa in 07, Les Miles won. Then in 09, Saban won. And in 11, the game of the century, LSU's last win against Alabama, Les Miles won, and then Saban won the 2013 meeting. So if that pattern continues, then that means LSU is due for a victory this Saturday. Now, LSU comes into the matchup undefeated, to which maybe some people wouldn't have predicted back in the preseason, because there was a lot of uncertainty, you know, as far as the quarterback position. And, I mean, everybody knew Leonard Fournette was going to be great. But, man, he's even exceeded my own expectations that I've probably mentioned in previous podcasts. But he's exceeded my expectations, and he's just, you know, a man on a mission to, you know, not only maybe win the Heisman, but he wants more than anything to bring a national championship back to Baton Rouge. And, my goodness, he's done a great job as far as putting us in position to, you know, be selected in the college football playoff thus far. But huge matchup this weekend, and now we're going to, you know, get more in depth into it's been a fun ride this season so far for the LSU Tigers, 7-0. Some people might not have expected us to get this far, but as far as undefeated this far into the season, and, you know, we had the game against Mississippi State, which we could have easily lost. We won it on a missed field goal at the end of the game by Mississippi State. Then we had the matchup with Auburn. Auburn was expected to, you know, was one of the favorites to win the SEC this year, and then they're, I don't know what happened with them, but they're 4-4 this year, and they came down to Tiger Stadium, and LSU absolutely blew them out of the stadium. And then we had a couple of non-conference games, Syracuse on the road, that was a tough win, Eastern Michigan. We looked a little sloppy, but got victory. And then South Carolina, a lot of crazy things happened there. I had to move the game over to Baton Rouge due to the flooding over in South Carolina. We won that game convincingly. And then the big matchup with the Florida Gators. Man, the Florida Gators are looking really good this year. Right now, they're one win away from clinching their spot in Atlanta. And we haven't even played a game in November yet. So Florida, what a turnaround for them. Most likely, I'm hoping LSU gets to see them again down the road, because that was a wonderful game in Tiger Stadium where we won on the fake field goal. And then, of course, last week, about 9 days ago, we defeated Western Kentucky 48-20, holding one of the top offenses in the country to only 20 points. So it's been a fun ride this season for LSU, for all the fans out there enjoying the history that is being made by Leonard Fournette, and that he'll probably continue to do, because right now he has about 1,300 yards, and he's well on his way maybe to even getting 2,000. But there's a tough schedule ahead. Four consecutive SEC West teams in the month of November for LSU. It's going to be a brutal November for LSU. But if LSU comes out of here unscathed, then there's no doubt in my mind that LSU will be well in position, even going into the SEC championship against Florida. It's going to be interesting to see how this month unfolds for the LSU Tigers. Now, Alabama suffered a loss back in September to Ole Miss, but they've been on a roll since then, with the exception for the game against Tennessee 9 days ago, where they did kind of struggle. We'll talk a little bit about that game in just a minute. I couldn't even tell you the last time Alabama probably lost a game in September. It's been a few years, actually, I'm sure. I didn't get a chance to look that up, but definitely been a while since Alabama lost an early game against Ole Miss. And then when they lost that game, they gave up 43 points. And a lot of people, including myself, were maybe doubting the greatness of this Alabama team. But, whenever you doubt Alabama, for some reason, they just rise to the occasion. And ever since then, they've been on a roll, because, when Alabama loses that first game of the year, they get on a roll. And it's like last year they lost to Ole Miss last year, got on a roll, made it to the college football playoff, where they lost to Ohio State, who eventually went on to win the national championship. And then this year, losing to Ole Miss yet again, just a little bit earlier in the season. And they've been on a roll ever since, not losing a game. College game day will be live from Tuscaloosa on Saturday morning. And this game was given the primetime slot on CBS, which that's been the case every year, because CBS, I think they only get one or two games per year where they can put them at night. And, of course, LSU-Alabama every year for the past, ever since 2011, has been the nighttime game. So LSU-Alabama, certainly the game of the year for LSU and Alabama, and maybe in all of college football. But this year there's also some other great college football matchups that yet didn't happen that a lot of people are looking forward to. But this is certainly one of the top five games to see every single year in college football, year in and year out, just due to the fact that you have Nick Saban, who's been so successful at Alabama, and you have Les Miles coming in at LSU. He's been very successful as well. So it's always fun when these two get together. Rarely a boring game. Of course, some people might have thought the game of the century was boring, but hey, if you're an LSU or an Alabama fan, you were on the edge of your seat that entire game, because you were just waiting for that one time or that one play to break loose. And it's been exciting, with the exception of maybe the 2013 game. And then other than that, it's pretty much been and then of course the national championship game back in 2012. That was tough to watch, even tough to talk about, but it happened. Okay, let's see here. I had to take a sip of my coffee here. Very big college football playoff implications in this game, because for the moment, LSU and Alabama are in a lot of people's top six. And, of course, there are only four teams that do make the playoffs, but numbers five and six at this point are by no means out of the conversation. And numbers five and six are actually never out of the conversation, because those are like the first two teams out technically. And even at this point, anybody in the top 10 is still in the conversation. Maybe even some one-loss teams just outside the top 10, because a lot of these top teams are going to play each other this month in November. It's going to be, if you're a college football fan, it's a great time to be a college football fan, because the next 4 weeks, oh my goodness, it's going to be amazing. And even a huge matchup between TCU and Baylor that's going to take place, I believe, the first weekend in December. So, man, it's going to be a good 4 or 5 weeks of college football. So the primetime slot is on CBS at 7 p.m. So the stage is set for LSU versus Alabama. Both teams will get a chance to make a statement, not only to the rest of the SEC, but for the country as well. So, and right now, Alabama actually is 7.5 favorite against LSU. So that kind of worries me a little bit, but you know, it's just a line. You know, they actually will have to play the game on the field. So I'm hoping that, you know, LSU can, hey, you know, throw the line out the window. And of course, when it comes to these two teams, you might as well throw records, rankings, lines, everything out the window, because man, this is one of the more underrated rivalry games in all of college football, especially with the success of both teams over the last decade. So now we're into the month of November, and it's the most crucial month of the season because there's so many games that have so many teams that have their playoff hopes still alive, and a lot of these top teams will meet each other throughout the month of November. So like LSU, their upcoming schedule for November, they have Alabama this week and Arkansas next week, followed by Ole Miss on the road, and then LSU caps off their regular season with a home game against Texas A&M. Now, Alabama's November, of course, kicks off this weekend with LSU. Next weekend, they will travel to Mississippi State. They'll come back home for a non-conference game against Charleston Southern, and then they'll have to go back on the road to Auburn for the Iron Bowl. And, of course, we all know what happened the last time the Crimson Tide was in Jordan-Hare Stadium. Current SEC standings, we'll take a look at the East first before coming to the West. Florida, 5-1 in conference play. They're two games ahead of second-place team Georgia, which they just defeated this past weekend pretty handily. So Florida is well in the driver's seat of the East, and I'm not even sure who they're playing this weekend. I didn't get a chance to look it up, but if they do, I know they have their final game against Florida State, which is a non-conference game, but they get one more win in the SEC play. They'll pretty much clinch the division in the East and be heading to Atlanta. Georgia is two games behind them. Tennessee is about 2.5 games behind them. Then Kentucky, Vanderbilt, Missouri, South Carolina. And then you have the West, where pretty much four or five teams will – I'm looking at them right now. LSU, of course, at the top, 4-0 in conference. Alabama's a half a game behind them at 4-1. Ole Miss is tied also a half a game behind them at 4-1. Texas A&M is 3-2. I think Texas A&M still has – LSU, and I'm not sure if they still have Ole Miss or not, but no, well, I don't remember. I can't remember if Ole Miss and Texas A&M still play each other. I think they might. So still a lot of uncertainty in the SEC West, because like I said, LSU has to face the next three teams, the next top three teams behind them all this month, including Arkansas right now, which is 2-2 in conference. They're the second to lowest team. LSU's only two SEC West teams they faced already are two of the bottom three in Mississippi State and Auburn. So LSU's biggest competition thus far has probably been the Florida Gators. And, of course, Florida Gators running away with the SEC East right now. So it gives me a little bit of hope that LSU is, you know, primed for good things, you know, especially coming up with this tough schedule. Knowing that they can handle the Florida Gators, because the Florida Gators came in and gave them one hell of a ball game. Knowing that LSU was able to handle that and win gives me, and I'm sure gives the team, a lot of confidence to be able to play to their best of their ability in this coming month. Because man, I'm telling you, it's going to be brutal. Like this schedule is unbelievable, and I'm confident that LSU can come out undefeated, but man, it's going to be rough, because and if LSU comes out with 1-point victories every single week, I'll be happy with that, because, you know, a lot of fans out there, if LSU doesn't look good winning, then, you know, maybe they'll lose a little bit of hope as far as, you know, the long-term success, you know, going to the playoffs and the national championship. But when you play a tough schedule like LSU's going to have to play, you'll be happy with getting a victory any way you can possibly get it. So now let's talk about the game itself this Saturday night. The game is in Tuscaloosa. The last time LSU played there, Alabama came away with the 38-17 victory. LSU has lost the last four games against Alabama, and their last win did come in Bryant-Denny Stadium in the game that was dubbed the game of the century, when LSU won 9-6 in overtime back in 2011. Now, the last meeting was in Baton Rouge, and it seemed like LSU would finally get redemption on Alabama from the embarrassing loss back in 2012 in the BCS National Championship game, because we all know that we still owe Alabama one for that. Nothing would be sweeter than to end Alabama's title hopes this Saturday like Ohio State did last season, and especially how Auburn did 2 years ago. Okay, so here's how Alabama looks. Statistically, total offense, 49th in the country, 421.9 yards a game. So they're a little bit above the middle of the pack. Rushing offense, 41st in the country, averaging 188.5 yards a game. Passing offense, 59th in the country, 233.4. So right there, their offense, it's not a spectacular offense, but it's an offense that does well, especially their defensive numbers. We're getting to that in just a minute. But their offense has certainly not put up any flashy numbers, but they've put up efficient numbers, and it's done enough to the job done because of their defense. Look at this defense, total defense, 4th in the country. Rushing defense, 3rd in the country. Now, passing yards allowed, they're 38th, which is still ranked higher than any of their offensive categories. Now, their team passing efficiency defense, 7th in the country. Their defense is carrying them this year because, like I said, their offense is not very flashy. When you lose guys like Blake Sims, Amari Cooper and company, and Yeldon, of course, you still got Derrick Henry running the ball. He's a beast in itself, just eclipsed the 1,000-yard mark last week. And he's probably currently the second-best running back behind Leonard Fournette in the SEC, if not maybe even the country. So there's also a scoring defense ranked 13th in the country. So pretty much with the exception of their passing yards allowed, they're top 15 in every defensive major defensive category. Now, their turnover margin, they're tied for 40th in the country, and that's not bad. But, forcing turnovers is something that they have done on occasion, but not so much as we've become accustomed to. Now, that third down conversion percentage, man, this is where LSU needs to get them. 111th in the country on third down conversion percentage. Also on fourth down conversion percentage, they're 85th in the country, only converting on 42% of their fourth downs. So now they're on defense, third down conversion percentage, they're 17th in the country, only allowing opposing teams to convert 31% of the time. And then on fourth down, only allowing, also 17th in the country, ironically enough, only allowing teams to convert 33% of the time. So they've allowed the fifth least first downs in the country. They're very good at time of possession, 7th in the country, averaging about 33 minutes, 21 seconds per game. So the Alabama defense is the story here. Their offense, I believe LSU's defense can, handle their offense, especially passing the ball. I hope this LSU defense gets their secondary issues fixed, because they've been known to blow in a few coverages so far this season. Now, coming into the season, the Alabama quarterback situation was absolutely crazy. They did not have a for-sure quarterback that they felt could be the full-time starter. Eventually, Jake Coker took over, and while he has shown some inconsistencies at times, he's done enough to get Alabama to a 7-1 record. He's had a lot of help from Derrick Henry. As I said a while ago, he just eclipsed the 1,000-yard rushing mark last week. Coker has thrown for 1,623 yards, 11 touchdowns, and 7 interceptions. In his last two games, he has thrown 0 touchdowns and 1 interception. And against SEC West teams, he has thrown 6 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. So that may have sounded a little biased there, and it kind of is, because, I want LSU to win this ball game, because we're very much overdue for a victory against Alabama. But those are facts, that Coker has not thrown a touchdown in his last two games, and he's thrown 6 touchdowns to 5 interceptions against SEC West teams. So while his numbers aren't flashy, he's efficient to an extent. 7 interceptions in 8 games is about his biggest flaw, so hopefully the LSU secondary can force him to make mistakes. Now, even in their only loss, Coker did throw 3 touchdowns, so LSU secondary has looked vulnerable at times this season. But I saw an article in The Advocate this past Friday talking about their miscues in the secondary, and the secondary vowed to get it right. Now, our rushing defense will have our hands full with Derrick Henry just as much as Alabama's defense will have their hands full with Fournette. So if we can stop Derrick Henry, force Coker to throw the ball, and if we can get pressure on Coker, I know we have Lewis Neal. Lewis Neal has been a monster this season getting to the quarterback. If he can get to Coker, cause some disruption, man, it's going to be a long night for Alabama, especially if we can stop Derrick Henry and try and force Jake Coker to beat us. Now, LSU statistically looks like this. Total offense, we actually ranked higher in total offense, 28th, averaging 466 yards a game. Rushing offense, we're fifth in the country, 309 yards a game. Our passing offense, of course, is 116th in the country. We're averaging 156.9 yards a game. Our team passing efficiency, 21st in the country. So Brandon Harris has been a lot more efficient this season than Jake Coker. Of course, Brandon Harris has not thrown an interception this year, which is absolutely amazing. He did have the one that he supposedly threw against, I think it was Eastern Kentucky, but they ended up ruling that, I think, a fumble. So no interceptions in the stat books this year for Brandon Harris. Our scoring offense, 14th in the country. Now our defense, is good, not quite as good as Alabama's. Statistically, total defense, 18th in the country, only giving up 315 yards a game. And then rushing defense, 6th in the country, only giving up 93.7 yards per game. So you're going to see two of the best rushing defenses in the country this Saturday night. And you're also going to see two of the best running backs in the country this Saturday night. So that is going to be a very, very fun matchup to watch, to see how each running back goes up against these rush defenses. Passing yards allowed, 64th in the country, giving up 222 yards a game. But, you know, last week we faced Brandon Daugherty, the Western Kentucky quarterback, who's near the top of the country and statistically in passing the ball. And I think we did a great job of, holding him. He did throw for a lot of yards, but they didn't score a lot of points. And that's what matters at the end of the day. The points you allow, not the passing yards you give up. So I think we did a great job there. Our scoring defense, 39th in the country, only giving up 22.6 points per game. Now, our turnover margin, we're tied for 13th in the country. So we're a little bit better as far as forcing turnovers. Our third down conversion percentage, 25th in the country. We're converting on 44% of the time. Our fourth down conversion percentage, we're still perfect on fourth down this year, tied for first in the country at 100%. Our third down conversion on defense, 39th in the country, only allowing teams to convert 34% of the time. That's going to be – and that's every year. This converting on third down is – and honestly, that's been LSU's – the importance of LSU winning ball games is their – can't think of the word right now, but their ability. I don't know how it took me so long to come up with that word, but the ability to convert on third downs, because LSU has been kind of known – in recent years to run. And then, in certain passing situations, they'll still run the ball. So, and converting on third down is very important for LSU. Now our fourth down conversion defense, we're 79th in the country. That's the one thing that kind of scares me. If Alabama goes far on fourth down, we're giving up conversions 52% of the time. So over half of the time teams are converting on fourth down against us. Our red zone offense, 20th in the country, converting or scoring 90% of the time. Our red zone defense, not that great. We are tied for 121st in the country, allowing teams to score 94% of the time. So there's weaknesses on both sides of the football for both teams. So it's gonna be a dogfight this Saturday. Now we all know what Leonard Fournette is capable of. Still the Heisman front runner, in my opinion, but some people would say the lead is shrinking, because although Leonard Fournette has not had a game under 150 yards rushing all season, the emergence of Brandon Harris over the last month of October has somewhat reduced the load for Fournette. After three consecutive 200-yard rushing games, Fournette's last three games were 158 yards, 180 yards, and 150 yards rushing, which has brought his average down to 193 yards per game, which is still impressive and still leads the country. Brandon Harris over the last three games has thrown for 228, 202, and 286 yards, which are his three best statistic games at LSU, not to mention his seven touchdowns and no interceptions. Brandon Harris has looked quite spectacular over the last few weeks. Had you told me that Brandon Brandon Harris would go into the Alabama game, have not thrown an interception and starting every game, man, I would have taken that. Oh, my goodness. That would have been a godsend for LSU fans. Then that's exactly what has happened. I feel like he has built his confidence up, and that's very crucial in being successful against this Alabama defense. He had a seventh in the country in pass efficiency defense. Now, I'm sure Alabama's primary goal will be to stop Fournette, and with the third-ranked defense, the rush defense in the country, Brandon Harris better be prepared to make plays because there will be a chance that Leonard Fournette could not be successful running the football. And I hope I'm wrong, but it is Alabama. Now, Alabama was actually outrushed in their last game against Tennessee, so there's certainly just as much of a chance that Fournette will have a good day as him having a bad day. So they were outrushed against Tennessee 9 days ago. I think Tennessee had about 130-something yards, and they actually gave up, I think it was like 190-something rushing yards to Georgia, and I think that was – I'm pretty sure Nick Chubb played in that game because he got injured after that game. So and Nick Chubb coming into the season was one of those guys being compared to Fournette, and let's just face it, Leonard Fournette is – a little bit better than Nick Chubb, and that's, you know, that might, some people might disagree with that, but that's my opinion and I'm sticking to it because let's face it, Leonard Fournette without a doubt has put on the best show of any running back in college football this season, and a lot of people are going to tune in this Saturday night, not, you know, even people that are not even crazy about college football, they're going to tune in because they want to watch Leonard Fournette, and it's kind of like, you know, the whole Johnny Manziel thing a few years ago at Texas A&M, you know, people wanted to see Johnny Football play because he was such this amazing player. And Leonard Fournette is probably a better running back than Johnny Football is a better quarterback, at least in college, in my opinion. So people are going to tune in to watch Leonard Fournette, and it's going to be a fun night in Bryant-Denny. I actually got a few friends that are heading over to Tuscaloosa this weekend. I kind of wish I could go because I've never been to an away game, but unfortunately I have, you know, I have family things to do on Saturday, so I won't be able to make it to Tuscaloosa, but you can bet that I'll be in front of a TV come 7 o'clock Saturday night. Now, if we look at the rankings, LSU is number 4 in both polls, while Alabama comes in at number 7 in both polls. Now, the first college football playoff rankings will be revealed tomorrow night at 6 o'clock on ESPN, and I expect LSU to be in the first top 4 of the season. And it's going to be a good feeling to see LSU in the top 4 in the first rankings, but by no means does this mean LSU is going to stay there. But hey, they keep winning, and LSU will be there in the end when it matters on December. I think it's December 6th is when, or the 7th is when the final rankings come out. So LSU Alabama this Saturday night, 7 o'clock p.m. It's going to be a fun matchup. The biggest key of the game is going to, you know, be which running back is going to be more successful. And if neither running back can be that successful running the football, then we have to look to both quarterbacks. You know, Brandon Harris has been the more efficient quarterback this season. So I believe LSU actually does have the advantage in both running and passing. But this Alabama rush defense is a little bit better than LSU's rush defense, along with the passing defense is a little bit better because LSU's pass defense has been known to give up big plays, and that's one thing we cannot afford to do. We can give up some passing yards here and there, but big plays are something that we're going to have to eliminate. And like I said, after reading that article, it's something that the secondary has said they will vow to fix. So it's about time for me to wrap it up here, though. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Remember to go like our Facebook page, Tiger Hype, as well as our podcast page, Tiger Hype Podcast. This coming week, LSU will travel to Tuscaloosa to take on the Crimson Tide in a huge SEC West showdown that not only has SEC implications, but playoff implications as well. And it will kick off 7 o'clock p.m. Saturday night on CBS. So join us again next week as we will recap what we hope will be a Tigers victory. So until then, folks, have a good week and go Tigers.